Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to yet another mission-based podcast. I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you so much. Our podcast family, we absolutely love you and adore you. You know that. And you know what? You are not only the coolest podcast audience, but you're very well organized. You have vision. And oh, lucky you. We're going to have a conversation with Wendy Watson today, all the way from Colorado. She is a spiritual relationship mentor. And right pre-show, we were talking and I said, you know what? I mean, there's a lot of entrepreneurs. I know that a lot of you out there are doing your own thing. You've got projects, you've got ideas, you're watching us do it first. You're like laughing, going ha 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 until you do yours and you take your mission and then we'll co-pilot you. That's my new word. I found this new word this morning and I'm going to use it because people were saying like, what is it with you 262 women? I go, we are like the best co-pilots. And I was like, I really like that because, you know, most of us are going forward. Wendy is one of those co-pilots to this project, and she is doing some very cool things. She just finished doing some, she's going to tell you what she does, but she just finished doing a really cool event that made huge waves, big enough that it's now going to be an event next year as well. And so I said, you know, so many times people want to do events. What is it about event? What makes a good event? What don't you know behind the stage? What don't you know behind the stage? And in this world of multiple, you know, multiple revenue streams and joint venture relationships, and some people, that's their whole business. Their whole business. I know a woman who has a business and it's called I Got People For That. And so she basically connects people and makes a relationship fee, right? And she's having the time of her life because she's talking and connecting. So there's a job for you. Put that one in your college calendar, you know? So let's get to talking to Wendy because you get to hear about me all the time. So Wendy, welcome to Mission Accepted.
Hi, thank you for having me on. Oh my gosh, it's such a pleasure to be on here with you guys and to be talking with your audience, sisters.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So please introduce yourself. Tell people what you do. Give them a bit of background on who you are. And then let's have a little conversation about what this whole event thing looks like. And maybe just share with us your last event.
Yes. So a little bit about me is I grew up in a very chaotic household. 2 divorces of my own. My parents divorced when I was 8. I was very angry, very selfish. And loss of a child, bankruptcies, all the things, until I went on my own spiritual journey and healed a lot of my wounds and brought out a lot of my gifts. And now I help people to do the exact same thing, be in complete relationship with themselves, with your anger, with your mind, with your brain, with your bat wings and your chicken legs. Like all of these to me are different relationships. So being in relationship with all the different components of who we are brings out the real, authentic, true version of ourselves. And to be able to do that in alignment with our values and our principles, that is my mission. And I was able to bring that to life at my SaaS Cash in Class conference that I just hosted on April 5th here in Denver. And it was all about showing all the possibilities that we can have these days without feeling like we need to sacrifice anything. We can have the health and wellness without sacrificing the kids or vice versa. We can have the career and the business these days without feeling like we have to sacrifice the relationship or vice versa. And we can even pick our men these days without just sitting by the window and waiting for them to call on us. We can have kids on our own these days. Like we can have everything. So let's inspire, let's teach you how to do that. Let's show you that it is currently being done so that you can do that for yourself.
Right on. Well, thank you so much. And for those of you that don't know, you will be able to open that gorgeous, beautiful book and see Wendy's story in the 262, and we share stages and all the things. And so I thought that what a perfect person to kind of dive a little deeper into the conversation about doing events. Because for some people, it's that automatic obvious. They're like, oh, I'm doing a book, I should have an event. Or I know a group of really cool people in the same business sector as me, men or women. And hey, maybe I'll do a conference, maybe I'll do a live event, maybe I'll do, like a live event or a live online. Or you're starting to see a lot of people pop up with summits, you're starting to see a lot of people, and it's an extension of their business. Now, some people do it as a market leverage. Right? They use it as a market leveraging to build customers and to build relationships and to build interrelationships with other people that are their colleagues. Some people do it as a revenue stream. You know what I mean? I'm going to rent this space, I'm going to charge this space, I'm going to bring people in. And then there's different things that they charge within that. And so I just thought, let's have an exploratory conversation because it's not, like a lot of things, it's not as easy as it may look. There's things that can go on, what I call behind the curtain. We've been living and doing behind the curtain for a long time. I mean, 262, my audience is very well versed that, we've had over 500 women come on stage. It's been pretty seamless and not too many, challenges at this stage. But in the beginning, it was about how did you build that formula? What were your boundaries around? What are the expectations and how do you relay them out? So let's talk a little bit because I'm super excited. I will be in Colorado in 2026, and I get to be one of the speakers on Wendy's stage. So, Wendy, you just had an event. It was very successful. If we were to break it apart, and I'm going to do the same thing, if you were talking to someone that is either doing events and looking to do another one or someone looking to start, how did you start? Like what was your concept and what did you find that was cool for you?
So I started with my mission. What is my mission? And what is the theme for this particular event? Right? Because once you have that, it's just the same as decorating a house or starting a painting or anything else. First, you have to come up with the concept, the mission, the why, the reason. And then that way you can start bringing in all the people that represent and are in alignment with that vision and that concept.
That's brilliant. There's so I will let Wendy land with that, and I will start with the other side where for me, once I have that done, it's the part that sometimes can get put aside depending on your brain and how it works. But for me, then comes that beautiful infrastructure, right? The infrastructure, I was talking about it today. We have an event that's coming up in a number of months, and then it's like, how many people? What's the marketing plan? What places of media can we do? What are the costs? What do we have to charge for that event to make sure that it's worth that event? How many people are involved? Are we going to do sponsorship? Does the event warrant sponsorship? Is there going to be people that gives? Are we going to do swag bags? What is the price for people to put swag, things in the swag bags? And so all of the elements. I think it's like, I call it Inspector Gadget, but you got to get it down. I use a big whiteboard because this event happens to be bigger. You might be doing something of 12 or 14 people. You can do it in your own beautiful journal, but just breaking it all out, I think makes you have to think about many different things. And then how does your mission, like when someone walks into the event, how does your mission show up before the person that says hello?
So
Right?
I can tell you, I have countless
Yeah.
spreadsheets.
How many spreadsheets did you?
I have countless
Yeah,
spreadsheets.
countless spreadsheets, right?
Right. So there's different spreadsheets for the speakers and the sponsors and the budget and the layout and all of those different things. I for that event, the spreadsheets were crucial for me to be able to track who's done what, has this been done, has that been done, I do have a big whiteboard behind me over here as I'm starting to plan for my next one. And and I think like the color matching and how is it represented as the audience walks in. So I kind of followed that. So right once I had my theme and my mission and my why, then it was the strategy and the logistics and okay, so now I need to get the money rolling in. So let's get the speakers rolling in. Let's start working on the sponsors. And for this particular event, it took a while to find the right venue. Right? I could have found a venue, but it was I wanted the right venue for this particular event. And so I didn't get my venue till 4 to 6 weeks before the event.
Oh wow.
And so
Oh
there was
wow.
a
That so you know we talk about 007, mission accepted, handling
Right.
danger, handling risk. That is super
Oh,
crazy.
I know.
Oh
I
my
had all
goodness.
this money and I had all these people that were flying in from Delaware and California and Utah and Texas and Canada. And they were starting to worry. And I'm like, don't worry. We got it. We will have a venue, even if I have to get a park permit and a bunch of chairs and a thing. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Right? Having that faith and just knowing what you need to do. And waiting for the right things to come into place, I think, is a lot of it. And then setting it up, like once you're there, how does your venue, how does your layout really open up and invite the audiences and the attendees into this big vision that you've created?
Right. So I'm going to say that's not for the new person. That's for the experienced person who has a strong relationship with faith and all the things. So,
Right.
and it's interesting, everybody's very different, right? So everybody's very different. Your faith may come in, obviously, the place where you're going to have it, but there is a piece of faith that comes with this. I think when you set intentions, it helps you make decisions based on. For me, it's about, and I had someone say to me a long time ago with events, it's like, what do you want people to feel when they walk in? What do you want them to feel when they are in the event? And what do you want them to feel when they leave the event? And that was really different because, we're doing an event that has a bit of multiple things for people to do, but really, if they're doing the art area or they're in the merchandise or they're book signing or they're getting a picture, what is the unison feeling that you want? And I think that dictates a lot of the decisions around, for me, a lot of the feelings around who's going to, right now we're hiring live music. So that live music has to make people feel the same way that we are presenting and it shows up in the branding, right? That you want people to have an experience because, like yourself, now, there's some events that you're going to do that you're not worried about revenue generating from. This is not a revenue generating. Maybe it's a market leveraging. Maybe it's something because there's free events as well. People do free events and they're doing it for other reasons, other charity, nonprofit. Well, if they're doing nonprofit, they're probably raising money. But they're not expected. I just supported an event that they made $9,000 and every piece of profit went to the Women's Health Initiative. So there's times where money may not be part of the picture.
Yeah, but I think the real tried and true result from any conference, like if you really want a success, it's got to hit all the senses.
Nice.
Right? The sights, the sounds, the visceral, the emotions. That's really when people connect and remember that event. So a lot of my speakers talked about the courage to stand up and they kind of got emotional and what do you stand for and being open to receive and asking for what you need, all these emotional things, but they did it kind of like in a fun, lighthearted way. And then we had food that was, health-minded. Drinks that were health minded. We did a social media contest to make sure everybody integrated and took pictures and interacted with each other. So when we went to dinner, when they said the bi their biggest takeaway was unity, Like it was mic drop. It was like, that's exactly what I wanted. And that was your biggest takeaway. And I think the second thing, the second sign of a good event, at least a big event, was that even after 9 hours of conferencing, more than half of the conference went to dinner together after because they still weren't done connecting with each other yet and feeling that sense of unity.
Right on. Let's dig into that a little bit. Let's talk about some of the things that we've done that have been successful and some of the things that we've done that we needed to take a rethink on. So people can kind of learn from a successful event.
Yeah, so I had originally, so something that I had to rethink was that I originally had four panels, and there was going to be two panels at one time, and it was going to be an hour long. And the panelists didn't say anything until the day of, by the way, like a couple of hours before we were going to start all the panels. And they wanted to be center stage so that they had the lighting and it was going to be great camera work and all the things. And so we had to think about that. And once they realized it was going to be an hour, they're like, we don't want to do this for an hour. Like, we're good with a half an hour. So we shortened the times down, had one panel at a time, and then just bumped them back to back. And so they were much happier with that. They're much happier with the video that they're getting from it. But it was something that we had to rethink and navigate within a couple of hours.
I think it's important to mention that, I mean, for me, having an agenda, like one of the successful things is having an agenda, having your whole team know what that agenda is. I mean, that's like our summits, right? You're on, you're off, you're on, you're off. This is what happens. You need to be there an hour before, like all the things that you tell to your speakers. And then sometimes things will happen. You may be able to accommodate it. You may not be able to accommodate it. You were able to accommodate it. What is it? So I'll talk about we obviously have speakers. And even if you don't have speakers, if you have a band. So when I was talking to you today, I'm like, okay, this is when people walk in. In half an hour is the welcome speech. Then we're going to do the fashion show, and then we're going to do the band, then we're going to do the fashion show, then we're going to do the band, and then we're going to do the awards and what it is that so everybody kind of knows in that gray zone, if it is a gray zone. Or with us on the summits, we're pretty tight. We're like, you talk your speech is at 220. One of the successful things that we've done, because in the first couple summits sometimes speakers will come on 10 or 15 minutes before. We're running 40 speakers. My team doesn't need to freak out and wonder where you are. So now speakers have to be there an hour before, half an hour before. You have to have your camera off so that you're in the flow and you're in the energy that was important to us, right? In the energy and in the flow, and to be able to capitalize it, as well as people get to see them, see that they're part of this. They don't just come on and off. And then that speaker's like, man, I wish I'd had more business from that. I'm like, you need to stay, you need to stay and do some business. So I think that for me, it's having that. And then because I have it orchestrated, if something bleeps, we're fine because we only change one thing, not everything. Like we had one celebrity who texted us very close to time. Like we were on air, we were shooting. There's no. And she's like, I'm too sick on the couch. I can't put my face on a camera. I'm like, all right, and we have communication between me and the co-host. We're here, but we're talking communication. I'm like, flip camera to this. We can make those decisions. But for us, it was really getting clear and having the business boundaries and competence and confidence to say, they're saying, I don't know if I can make it. I go, pick another time. No, I think I can. No, we don't do think here. We don't do maybes. We just do no for sures, right? We have to go with all for sures because of the nature of the event, and we can accommodate it, and let's accommodate it when it's a for sure time. So sometimes that's hard when you're working with celebrities. They're like, can you change the time? And if you can, let me know ahead of time. But if you can change it for someone who's your keynote speaker or whatever, or they're flying in and they only have a short amount of time, you can do that. You can make accommodations for sure. But the more time that you have that, the better. So for us, doing these things as far ahead. I mean, you've got an event next year, you've got your whiteboard going.
Yep.
One of the mistakes we made, I've made in previous, in my early days of doing events, was getting too excited and launching it too soon. I now know, particularly the world now where many people are abundant with many things going on, is that 6 months out, a year out sometimes, so that you don't have to change the date. But if you have to change the date, if you smell and you think that date needs changing, do it as soon as possible.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I think for me, like having those agendas and having the timelines, what actually worked really well for me. So between each speaker, I had a 2 minute buffer where we would play a song. Either they would really just, we either we were on time and they would get to enjoy that song, or if the speaker went over, that was something that we could just cut out and move on to the next speaker. And so, because I know that sometimes speakers don't always end on time, especially in a live event, with being on Zoom, I think it's a little bit easier to navigate that. But when you're live and they're in the middle of ending their speech or something, and you don't really want to cut them off. So I think it was really smart on my end to just have those 2 minute buffers between each speaker, each section of the event.
Yeah, that's a gem drop for sure. That's a gem drop for us because it's Zoom, right? We do some live, but it's Zoom. We have someone texting them. So they'll see it in the chat privately to themselves, like time up. We've had that before. Ironically, we had this woman who's a professional speaker. She organizes stuff just like we do. And I'm like, after this one, I'm like, girl, if anyone should know their timing. But here was something that I did that's a gem drop. So if you have someone who's not used to speaking on like to a time frame where they're like, they have that variable, like podcasts are variable at 20, 25, 30 minutes. It's variable, right? Depending on how cool the conversation's going. So when you say to someone 20 minutes and they're like, oh, particularly if they're new, and I'm like, when you are practicing in the mirror, 16 minutes is 20. Because you talk in the mirror like this and you practice and you're like, hi, my name is Dev Drummond and I'm a top performance trainer. And today I'm going to teach you, you know, whatever. You're talking like to yourself. You're not like, hey, it's so nice to be here. Thank you, Wendy, for having me. This is such a pleasure to be here. Like you're not breathing as much. You're not talking to yourself in the mirror like, oh, that's hilarious. So I remember when you don't do that, you talk your speech. So 16 to 16 and a half minutes is a 20 minute presentation. So
interesting. Cause for me, it's the opposite. So every time I would practice, I was at, so it was an 18 minute slot. And every time I would practice, I was at 19 to 19 and a half. But once I was on stage, like I, and one of the other speakers did this too, I spoke a little bit faster. And so I ended up ending right on time, right on 18 minutes.
Right.
So I think knowing your speaker style,
yeah,
right, and how you do it, which only comes with experience and practice,
yeah,
I think is incredibly important to know.
It is. Yeah. When we're telling people, if you're needing to practice, that's your by nature. So the cool thing is it's better to have not too much time left over. Like we had a woman that came on, her speaker spot was 20 minutes. She was the opening speaker. She was done in 12. 8 minutes is a lot of time to fill until your next speaker. Now here's the challenge with that. Of course you can move your next speaker up, but you're having to text, are you okay? Are you ready to go early? And she's marketed to her friends. You know, we're big, you know, our expectations around our speakers, even though our speakers are paid speakers. And the same thing is when we do live events. So whatever, when you have people that are paying to play, or you're paying to play, or there's some kind of, I'm not paying, but I'm not this, like whatever your deal is with people, our expectation is to have them market. I mean, how are you going to get it out there? Like, that's part of it. That's part of it. Like you,
right.
You know, you do it. So for us, moving people sooner can be a challenge because they're like, oh, my friends are coming at this time.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming to see me speak. So you have that become as an issue if someone ends early, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Or the lack of communication. There was one of my speakers wasn't responding at all to any emails, any chats, any texts. And I'm so my mind is going into,
Yes.
okay, if for some reason she doesn't show, like, how do I fill this spot? Who do I pick? Like, who are my top three that I think can just hop on stage? And not without preparation. Like, I think that's part of it, like being able to navigate, because in all of my speakers, all my panelists, everybody involved, they knew the expectation was to market and to bring at least 5 to 10 people to the conference. I had 20 people involved. Everybody brings 5 people. We got 100 people. We got a successful conference. And that didn't happen. So that falls on me as the organizer. It's like, okay, now I need to amp up my promotional, my marketing in order to get people in. So then I got to the point where I was like personally calling people and paying for ads.
And I think it's important to take that away from whoever's listening, right? Because even though, there's expectations of an event, that's cool. There's expectations of the people participating in the event. It's like I was part of a big event that we flew to, and this person had someone who was bringing 45 volunteers to the event, and they canceled 48 hours before. If you are planning events, you have to know that those kind of things are happening. That's the stuff behind the stage that you don't see. Oh my gosh, it was a great event. You don't see. So that person's calling everyone they know, capable or not capable to get there. Can you do front door? Can you do this? Can you do that? Now, some of us on the inside, we kind of noted a few. I was like, well, that's interesting, right? You kind of figured it out. But by nature, that's the kind of stuff that you do. Same as for with you. So the expectations, and then how much do you keep those expectations, and asking, and life happens as well. So you have to know that even if you have a certain amount of people coming. So I always now. So some of the things that I've learned is get way more volunteers than you need. There's nothing wrong with having someone walk around to just make sure people are happy. The other thing I've learned in terms of volunteers is to have a leader and have an assistant leader. So there's two people in charge. They have an idea, floor plan, job roles. Like, this is your solo, this is your spot, this is where you're going to be for 3.5 hours. What we're doing for an event or the next event is having lanyards, so they have the schedule on the back. They're all going to wear the same clothes, right? So please dress in black. We're going to give them obviously a piece of Ocean's, clothing wear, because we happen to be clothing. But if you're not clothing wear, you can do something that defines, so people can see who volunteers are, so they know where to go to ask for that. Yeah, right. So there's those kind of things that you can implement. But I always say kind of overstock the cupboards, right? If you have 50 people, like someone said to me, I want to send books to your, books to Ireland. We have 30 people. I go, send 32. Send 32. Someone might bring their sister, and all of a sudden now you don't have a package for her, or the organizers, like, so send 32. I was like, go high a little bit on those things. So I've learned, and one of the things that I would say to somebody is go higher in your backyard, right? And so yeah, there's nothing wrong with having too many people supporting and helping. Let's talk about pricing. Let's talk about pricing. Let's talk about how you would price a show, or like just. Do people do shows, or do you do shows to that are market based, where it's more important about the marketing and getting your name out there in relationship to the project? Or for you, is it a revenue stream? There's lots of people that, I mean, ultimately you want both. Most, you want to be able to, but what about for you and some of the events that you do? Let's talk about how you cost.
So I mean, one of my events that I'm scheduling out for this year is just a little $12 workshop, right? It's more of a lead magnet and to get people in to experience what I do without it feeling like a big financial burden, right? Most people can afford 12 bucks. Plus, the goal of it is to get people. So the whole workshop is around redefining your relationship with money. And so we want people in to be able to think about it and get the juices rolling and stuff like that. There was a financial advisor that came to me and said, I have a lot of clients that just aren't getting over that speed hump so that they can hire me. What can we do to give them just enough information to get them over the speed bump so that they're making more money so that then they can hire me? And so
Right.
that was the concept of that. So I have the $12, I've got the $50 program, I've got the $200 program, depending on what the purpose is, who the audience is, and where they're at personally
Right.
and their growth and their beliefs.
Right. So different prices for different things. So that's, those events, so it can be, so your purpose is more about, so your mission walking in is to have people know what you do and how you do it. So your ticket's a little lower. When you start getting into events that have speakers or other people involved or doing the costings for that, are you like, what is the market bearing out there? What do you know, like when you think about an event where you're charging, like we just went through that process. Like, so when we were deciding the price of the ticket, when we first decided the price of the ticket, we're like, where are you? So we're in Vancouver. It has to be much lower in Ireland because in Ireland, they don't like big ticket pricing, right? So she's like, whoa, we're this price there, where we, if that event that we're doing there would be the same thing in New York, it'd probably be 3 to 4 times the price. It would be, well, first of all, the venue would be more, there would be more things to have to cover, but different places. So we're Vancouver, it's super cool. Unfortunately, people in Vancouver are last minute deciders. We know that. So you have to deal with the anxiety of, we're going to sell 3/4 of our tickets in probably the last 2 weeks, because that's how Vancouver people roll. If you know events here, those kind of things. And then what cost is it going to be? We have swag bags included. So we've done two different prices. One's VIP, so you're on the red carpet, you're in the VIP room, you get a different photographer, separating those kind of things. So making it so we can justify the price of a very expensive photographer compared to not, or knowing what we have to sponsor and put a sponsorship package out there for. What are some of the variables that make your prices? Like, what do you
One of the variables was my business partner. So I bought a license from Lead and Empower Hershey Talks. And so they have a policy that the pricing has to be between 150 and 200.
Okay.
So, right. So that's a variable. If you're going to partner with somebody, you have to know what their policies and their requirements are. They want it affordable enough to get people in without breaking the bank. So, and that, after 8 years of doing this, that's the window that they have found is very successful for their demographic. Right? So I think that's part of it. I think also knowing and planning what your expenses are is part of it, knowing what your break-even point financially is, like how many people you need to get in the door. I think that's another variable. Especially if the venue ends up changing or you don't get enough sponsors or anything like that, then throwing in the VIP and, how can you make it more experiential?
So let's wrap up with some super success. Let's kind of like, double down for everybody. Now you're doing events, not doing events, yay events, no events, oh my gosh, events, lots to do, planning, mission, vision, what's the nature of the event, what are you going to charge for the event, what's your break-even point, super important to know people, what's your break-even point, what are the benefits, what's your date, is it far enough ahead, don't plan on anybody doing anything, make sure that you've got backup for everything, that's my motto, right? Hire the right people, hire the experts. Honestly, there are people out there that can help you do events that are absolutely fantastic. This is what they do every day, all day, from, in the morning and the night, just like you do your thing from morning to night. So it's great to have people like that on your team. But let's talk about some things that have been highly successful. Let's talk about some things that you would put in, like having a song in between. That was great. For us, because you have to give value, you have to highlight the value. So us, having a red carpet says value, right? There's a red carpet.
Yes, and I love the lanyard thing with the agenda on it. I thought that was brilliant for all the volunteers. Hiring the right people. It's not just about hiring people and filling in the spot. It's about hiring the right people that are actually going to do it and accentuate your event versus.
Well, another thing that I do, and then well, let's just take a little turn here. So another thing that we do for our events that's super successful is we refuse to put anything in a swag bag that someone's going to come home, dump their swag bag into recycling. We
Exactly.
actually have criteria. We have a video. You have to hit this criteria. It has to be caliber. It has to be, if your certificates, a gift certificate, it's got to be over $250. If it's a service, if it's a product, it has to be a certain product, a certain this. So we have swag bag criteria. So people feel like that's part of the experience and it's part of our mission, right? What about you? What's something else you do that is successful?
Yeah, so we had all of our speakers provide their presentations a week to 2 weeks in advance so that our videographer and our tech team could create one whole slide deck. That way, the presentations and the songs and everything were just seamless, and we could just go to the next deck. Or we could skip that deck and go to the next presentation instead of plug and play and like, where is it and blah, 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 and and exchanging. Yeah, just creating one slide deck. So it was totally seamless, was brilliant, was super successful.
That's cool. Something that we do is because our events that we do live now, even sometimes people are late. So even if it's like in a conference room, we always make sure that there is someone at the front door the whole time. So they're welcomed, they come in, and now we're doing some stuff in clubs. So people are going to be coming and going. So there was someone to say hello, thank you, and welcome. And there was someone to say goodbye and gave them a little gift on the way out. So we're holding swag bags out. Who wants to carry swag bags everywhere? Sometimes in conferences you can put them, but we don't want them digging there. We want them looking there. So your swag bag is your gift that you get to go home and go, woo, this is cool. Part of their after effect. So literally someone sitting there and it, that's willing to sit there and be the welcome for the whole event. Yeah. Any,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Another thing that was super successful for us is that we had it in an area where there's probably 10 to 15 different restaurants. So that when we were on lunch break, because it was a full day thing, there was a different option for anybody based off their personal styles. There was just a bunch of options in the local area that they could go to, which they appreciated.
If people are flying in from out of town, hotels and transportation access is really important. For sure, directions, because if someone's taking an Uber and what have you. So that's really important.
Yeah. So that was one of the things I was very cognizant of. Denver is huge. And so I didn't want the venue and the conference to be more than a half an hour away from the airport, because then you're talking about much different expenses and time, and they're already flying in. And I just so happened that the closest hotel was 0.4 miles and less than $70 a night.
How much is it a night? Can you
How much?
negotiate?
Do you need to get a room block? All of those things. So because it was already a reasonable amount, I didn't, it saved me time from having to go get a room block.
The thank you at the end, whether they've left the event or not, but a thank you, and then your after party. Like, what does the after party look like? That's going to be different for everybody, but don't forget about your after party. Sponsors, you may want 10, accommodate if you get 5. Sponsorship can be an interesting, so for us, having the right branding, like we have a sponsorship package, right? So and does that reflect what it looks like, and taking the time to pay someone to do a proper sponsorship package that you can probably use over and over again. What's
Yeah,
the
I mean,
what?
spot. The sponsored packages, the individual landing pages for the sponsors and the speakers and the panelists, they really appreciated that because then they had their own dedicated page and they could promote it and give them that individual focus.
Oh, that's really interesting. So having your landing page and having your sponsors have their own page on there.
Yeah, so it was one landing page, and then you could click on any name or photo or logo, and it would take you to their individual landing page or their website so that they
That's
get
awesome.
lead, right? Now they're getting clicks and views on their websites.
Yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. So thank you. I even learned something on my own show today. Okay, we're going to wrap up a little bit because we've just taken you through a number of different things that you can do for a successful event, right? You got all the different elements, and I think some of the stuff behind the stage we shared with you some of the stuff behind the stage. Maybe next time we get together, we'll tell you how to prepare yourself. There's all sorts of things that you need to do to prepare yourself to be able to present to the world this kind of container, right? So I say start smaller and then go to the next level. So I'm going to ask you a question that's completely not that, completely not that. We're all having events, we're doing well. You're
Yes.
doing sellout events. Everyone's purchasing. They're fighting to get on the stage. They're having a blast. They're talking about it after. They're going to dinner. They're staying connected. Everyone's doing all the great stuff that you want from a good event. People are begging you to do one next year. They're signing up right after this event. I have a client, we're signing up for this event right before, for next year's event because it was so much fun. I mean, this is what we want for you all out there. And they can be revenue streams if you want them to be. Just realize that it's work. It's an extension of your business, but it is work. And with that being said, because we have all your information in the show notes, people can contact you. You are doing an event in 2026 in Colorado. If you're listening to this podcast in 2 years from now, she's probably doing another event, right? So we're probably doing one together. I'm going to just kind of clear that slate and say music is such a big part of events. It's an incredible piece. Choosing music the way that you did, that was really cool based on what they're speaking on. But if you were on your way to a desert island and you had a suitcase and you were putting one album with you that you couldn't imagine not listening to for the rest of your days, what one album would you absolutely want to take with you?
Okay, so I don't know how to pronounce the name of her albums.
Okay, just yeah, what's the singer? You can do album, you can do song, you can do singer.
the artist is Ivor, Eivor. She's a Nordic singer and she sings in both Norwegian language and English. And that would have to be any of her music would have to be what I carry with me.
Oh my goodness, you're gonna have to send me a song. Send me
I
a song.
will.
Text me a song. That's awesome.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Well, look it, you have been an incredible audience, and we are so grateful for you because we do look at our analytics and we know that you are all around the world. We also know that you share this show. We're so appreciative because there's some pretty cool people doing some pretty cool things, and you saw them sitting here. If you have some pretty cool things and you want to be sitting here, you have some options, right? So you can come on to a group podcast, you can come on to a solo show. If you want to do something that's a three-part mini series, let's get it done. You would have, because you were the first to know, because we're very inner circle people, that we were launching the women's channel. It is for women and those that support women. So basically women and cool dudes. So if you're a woman or cool dude and you want to be on our show, then get on our stage because that's going to get you on the women's channel and you're going to have 300 million viewers listening to you talk about your upcoming event. I'm thinking you're probably going to fill your room. And if you're ready to, wow, should I do a podcast? Should I do a television show? I've got this podcast. It doesn't have 200 million views. Can I move it over to your show? Yes, you can. So let's have a conversation. If you are new to this channel, well, I make it really difficult. DebDrummond.com. You go to any contact page, you put it through, and it actually bypasses my team and goes right to me. So I'm happy to have a conversation with you. We have incredible summits. We have one coming up. We always have one coming up, right? March, May, August, and November 7th and 8th. If you want an invitation, if you want a free invitation to one of the most incredible events ever, just reach out to us and we will get you that link. So thank you so much for being such a cool audience. We appreciate you. We know you're going to be popping over to the television channel as well and being our audience there. Wendy, thanks for making so much time today. That was so fun. That was so fun. And we know you're in spirituality. We know you in money. Those two have a very powerful relationship. We're going to put all your information in the this show notes. So if spirituality and making more money, you know, inspires you, if you leaned in on that, please reach out to Wendy. And until we see you again, I want you to be well, stay well, and stay groovy. Bye for now.